slant, cleared his throat.
"Mr. Scrope has sent a note," he said. "It appears that he is ill."
William pulled out his notebook. The civic leaders focused on it. He hesitated. And then uncertainty evaporated. "I'm a de Word," he thought. "Don't you dare look down your noses at me. You've got to move with the times." "Oh, well," he goes. "Was it signed by his mother?" he said.
"I don't follow your meaning," said the lawyer.
But several of the guild leaders turned their heads away. "What's happening now, then?" said William. "We don't have a ruler?"
"Happily," said Mr.
Slant, who looked like a man in a private hell,
"Lord Vetinari is feeling very much better and expects to resume his duties tomorrow."
"Excuse me. Is he allowed to write that down?"
said Lord Downey, head of the Assassin's Guild, as William made a note.
"Allowed by who?" said Vimes.
"Whom?" said William, under his breath.
"Well, he can't just write down anything, can he?" said Lord Downey. "Supposing he writes down something we don't want him to write down?"
Vimes looked William firmly in the eye.
"There's no law against it," he said.
"Lord Vetinari is not going to go on trial, then, Lord Downey?" said William, holding Vimes's gaze for a second. Downey, baffled, turned to Slant.
"Can he ask me that?" he said. "Just come out with a question just like that?"
"Yes, my lord."
"Do I have to answer it?"
"It is a reasonable question in the circumstances, my lord, but you don't have to."
"Do you have a message for the people of Ankh Morpork?" said William sweetly.
"Do we, Mr. Slant?" said Lord Downey.
Mr. Slant sighed.
"It may be advisable, my lord, yes."
"Oh, well, then. No, there won't be a trial, obviously."
"And he's not going to be pardoned?" said William. Lord Downey turned to Mr. Slant, who gave a little sigh.
"Again, my lord, it is..."
"All right, all right. No, he's not going to be pardoned, because it's quite clear that he is quite guiltless," said Downey testily.
"Would you say that this has become clear because of the excellent work done by Commander Vimes and his dedicated band of officers, aided in a small way by the Times?" said William. Lord Downey looked blank.
"Would I say that?" he said.
"I think you possibly would, yes, my lord," said Slant, sinking further in gloom.
"Oh, then I would," said Downey. "Yes."
He craned his neck to see what William was writing down. Out of the corner of his eye, William saw Vimes's expression. It was a strange mixture of amusement and anger.
"And would you say, as spokesman for the Guild Council, that you are commending Commander Vimes?" said William.
"Now, see here," Vimes began. "I suppose we would, yes.
I expect there's a watch medal or a commendation in the offing."
"Now, look," Vimes began. "Yes, very probably," said Lord Downey,
now thoroughly buffeted by the winds of change. William painstakingly wrote this down too, and closed his notebook. This caused a general air of relief amongst the others.
"Thank you very much, my lord, and ladies and gentlemen," he said cheerfully. "Oh, Mr. Vimes, do you and I have anything to discuss?"
"Not right at this moment," growled Vimes.
"Oh, that's good. Well, I must go and get this written up, so thank you once."
"You will, of course, show this article to us before you put it in the paper," said Lord Downey, rallying a little.
William wore his haughtiness like an overcoat.
No, I don't think I will, my lord. It's my paper, you see."
"Can he?"
"Yes, my lord, he can," said Mr. Slant. "I'm afraid he can. The right to free speech is a fine old Ankh Morpork tradition."
"Good heavens, is it?"
"Yes, my lord."
"How did that one survive?"
"I couldn't say, my lord," said Slant. "But Mr. De Word," he added, staring at William, "is, I believe, a young man who would not go out of his way to upset the smooth running of the city."